At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today, we are going to be recapping Season 7, Episode 16 of Pretty Little Liars, called...
The Glove That Rocks the Cradle.
Glove That Rocks the Cradle. You're going to get mad at me for saying this, but... You laying down, the sound of your voice sounds like you are in a library, as somebody once said.
Well, this is
you have to project a little bit. You have to project a little bit more.
Okay. This is where I have to be, though, right now.
That's really fine. But this is where I need your voice to be, out here.
Okay.
Not like the glove that rocks a cradle.
Well, I kind of said it like that on purpose.
Yeah, I'm just telling you don't, because it's worse than usual if you
no,
do.
No, I was saying that title in that voice on purpose.
I know
you
were. I was
not going to continue to talk like that.
Well, I guess we'll never know.
I guess
we'll never know. Okay. Well, lucky you get to be on the recap. But before we get into the recap, I want to remind you guys, next week you're going to get the recap of Season 7, Episode 17. And then we are switching to our every other Punch Bowl model. Okay, so you're going to get really awesome Punch Bowls where we cover a bunch of topics. And those are going to be the Thursday drops every other week after our recap. So we can stretch this out, enjoy the 15th anniversary of Pretty Little Liars, enjoy the fall season, the rewatch season. And that's the plan. So... please just get excited. Don't fall off. And don't fall off once we finish it either, because then we have some really exciting content for the show to wrap everything up. And you're not going to want to miss that either. And then also on Monday, we have a special episode coming out because it is the official holiday of Pretty Little Liars, Labor Day. So you're going to want to tune in on that day, see what's happening. Okay.
And now we're in the episode. We start at the Rosewood Police Department and Spencer's getting interrogated by Barry.
By Barry. Welcome back, Barry. They said we got to get him in for this last season. What better place to have him than actually interrogating Spencer?
Pissed off at Spencer.
Pissed off at Spencer. And believe me, Spencer's giving it right freaking back. Spencer's being about the least cooperative. Like, I guess not the least cooperative. She could be like running amok in there. But like, she's not being like pleasant, you know?
No.
You've known Barry your whole freaking life, Spence.
And he's been waiting to get his hands on you in the cuffs.
Oh, and he's like, let me at her. And they're like, no, Barry, believe me, something will come up. Something will come up. She's obsessed with dating cops. We learn a lot of information about her.
Spencer's
going to happen.
Spencer to me is kind of digging herself a deeper hole than is necessary. She keeps being like, Archer could have been there. Spencer, you know, maybe she doesn't remember, but like, you, in theory, know that you signed you thought you used your car, so you would have used your signature. So, like, I think that there should have been a better line of attack. I'm not creative enough for this, but I'm a little bit like, we couldn't have said Allie gave you Archer's card to go pick up some food for them at one point.
So true.
Or, like, you had it for XYZ, or Archer needed you to go grab this thing for Allie to have it at Welby. We could have... It's not out of the realm of possibility that you would have his card. I understand that then it does become complicated because that same card was used later in the night to buy the ticket. But I don't think it's impossible to explain away.
I think that if Spencer was at her best, she'd be able to figure out something to at least buy her a little bit of time so that she could nail down the details. Now, I have to say something. I know that this is sort of acknowledging a spoiler, but I think I'm probably the only one here who hasn't seen the whole show. I don't think this is Spencer this whole episode.
Oh,
she's
really?
Walking different. She's talking different. She's acting a little bit different. And if she's not, if this really is Spencer in this moment, then like I just sound stupid as fuck. But it's giving... we've swapped her out.
I think it
it's giving
Spencer.
We've got a doppelganger on the scene. Really?
I think it is Spencer.
Then she's... Are you just saying this, like, throw me off?
No,
or
no,
like,
no. I'm trying to remember. I think it's Spencer.
just little things
but
she's
I had
doing.
The same
she
thought when she showed up to Floozy's apartment. I thought maybe it was not
she
her.
Keeps doing things that I'm like, okay, but the real Spencer would know
I
that this isn't gonna work.
We've met that person yet.
We didn't meet her in the airport last week?
No.
That was not Spencer.
Yes, it was.
No, that was not. She can't be in two places at once.
Well, where was she while that was happening?
She came back right after she was at the barn with Caleb and they had their whole thing with the game.
Yeah, I feel like that was later, though. She showered and stuff.
It was like the next scene. I'm just like, you. And also, I'm sorry. No. Stop it. I already know the plot twist. I already know Spencer has an evil British twin. Okay, sorry, guys. I already know.
Right, but
Spencer,
Hastings has an evil British twin. Don't apologize to them. They ruined it for you.
Guys, I tried.
No, you guys didn't.
I don't think they ruined it for me. I think that just like the internet at large ruined it for me. It's impossible because anywhere you go, they're like, oh my God, it was crazy. Like, I can't believe they ended it with her having an evil British twin. You know, like people just be saying that out there. So I just know it. But that also, I'm like, okay, you're with Ren, the British guy. That was Alex Drake. That had to have been. Are you being for real?
I am being for real. I truly don't think that we know her yet.
Well, we don't know her, but I
no,
think
I know, but I don't know that
because
it goes
why
back
else would she be
far.
Like, don't tell anybody? Because
I think
don't
that's
tell
what,
anybody.
That's part of what people had such an issue with is that like this wasn't breadcrumbed the way that it should have been.
But okay, but because
it's
I'm
only
watching
five
it.
Episodes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm watching it, and it's like when you watch Gossip Girl, and you know Dan's Gossip Girl, and you're watching it, and you're, like, looking for all those little things. So, like, me knowing what I know watching this, I'm like...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think we also met her when Hannah was captive.
That one.
I think that,
that one
dream
was
Spencer.
So maybe we did, but I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
If you're just, like, fucking with me, I'm gonna be so annoyed. Anyway... Also, what it brings me back to is the line in Severance when Irv says, Helly was never cruel, okay? And that's where Spencer's delivery of, like, everything this episode just has this edge to it.
Yeah.
That I understand, believe me, I understand she's under a lot of stress, but there are just things that she's doing that I'm like, later on, she goes to take a nap in the upstairs of the Hastings Castle. I'm like, you haven't wanted to set foot in the fucking Hastings Castle. Why would you not go nap in the barn? Like, there are just things that are happening that I'm like, this isn't giving Spencer, but because I'm looking for them, because I know what's going to happen.
Yeah. I think this is Spencer.
Okay. Well, she needs to cool it.
I'm like 99.9% sure this is her.
And she's being a little freaking brat.
Well, that's especially with Hannah.
Yes, especially with Hannah. So we got this line in her interrogation. She seems super stressed out. Barry says, do you remember making a joke to Detective Fury about burying
a body?
I'm like, hey, Spencer, what were you thinking? Spencer looks at him and goes, no.
Imagine, but I do remember
unbuckling his belt in the elevator.
Crazy. Imagine that was Alex Drake. And Alex is like finding out all these mistakes that Spencer made. And is like, oh my God, she's an idiot. Oh my
Literally.
God,
Alex
she's
Drake
an
is
idiot.
Like, Alex Drake is like,
maybe not related.
I don't remember that. That never would have come out of my mouth. Oh, am I talking in a British accent? Anyway, so then like Spencer just starts yelling over and over, I don't recall, and like talking over him, and Barry snaps.
He goes, maybe next time, wait till I've asked you a question.
And he makes this little smirk, and I just know. Oh, he doesn't say we're done here. Someone has to come over the loudspeaker because I'm like, they think Barry's going to jump across the table and pummel Spencer to the ground if they don't end this now.
And here's why. It's because one time he heard Spencer talk to Pam Fields in the office with a little bit too much of a tone. And Barry's never forgotten that.
Spencer treated Pam. Neither has Pam.
Neither has Pam.
Neither has Emily as a result.
Pam does not like Spencer.
No, Pam does not like Spencer. And Pam also is like Emily is very aware that Pam does not like Spencer.
Yeah.
And it makes Emily nervous every time Spencer's around. Yes, yes. Not that we can relate to anything like that. So, but the actor playing Barry gives this little smirk. And I'm like, okay, he said, I've been waiting for my Emmy moment. I'm sending this in for Emmy consideration. That she's like, you might want to wait till I ask the question first. And like does this like
I know more about American Girl doll than you do, genius.
Absolutely. I know more about the Rosewood Law than you do, genius, Hastings. And then he gets called out, and it's just like so clear that he fucking hates Spencer. But maybe not as much as Detective Floozy, who comes in next.
Oh my God, guys.
What and a this temperature is just,
this
shift
is just
for him.
Another point in the column of proof that love love is just an inch away from hate.
Oh my God, Phoebe. Deep, deep. What are you referencing here with the column of truth?
No, that was just, it was proof, by the way. I just think it was
proof,
me.
Sorry.
It was just kind of me noodling around.
Oh, so that's not, okay.
That's great a work. Phoebeism.
Oh, if I've ever heard one. So he comes in, Detective Floozy, and he's like, all right, Spencer, look, I can't help you unless you tells the truth. Unless he tells the truth. I can't help you unless like he tells the truth.
On Lost Coach this week, Matt goes, what does Matt say? He says something that is like, it's two ERs. Like there's two words that have ER at the end of it, but mm-hmm. he says it really fast. So he says O instead of ER. Like he's like, he has, like what's an example of that? Like,
no idea.
Like Washo instead of Washer.
But I love that that's where you what's an example of that Washo instead of Washer. What's it Fado instead of Father.
It was kind of like drama.
I thought you said it has two ERs.
No it would yeah, there were two. He was saying two words. It was like words that go together. And I really wish I could think of what they were, but it's because he said them wrong. I can't remember.
Oh my God.
But
oh my
I was
God.
Laughing I laughed well, multiple times out loud this episode on my walk, like fully, like truly, like trying to hide my smile laughing out loud.
You know what, our listeners can relate to that, because almost every message we get is like, I think everyone in my neighborhood thinks I've lost it because I listen to your podcast. And I'm like, hey, you just need to tell them, if you can't beat them, join them. But
just
anyway,
like, we make dreams come true.
Yes, Matt and Bowen spent a lot of time talking about The Hunting Wives, which is what we're doing for our pilot recap this month on the Patreon. So if you want to hear their commentary, go listen. And if you want to hear ours, that's behind a paywall. Okay. Well, it's because it's essentially softcore porn or even hardcore porn.
That's what mom said. I got to the beach house last week and the blinds were pulled down in the sunroom. And I was like, weird. And she goes, it's because Hunting Wives is essentially softcore porn.
it literally is. And if you listen to Matt and Bowen's episode, that will become immediately clear to you. So anywho, Spencer is like not giving in. She accuses Floozy of playing good cop, bad cop. And it seems like for a moment, she's like maybe going to acquiesce. Like she's going to cooperate. And she takes this really long pause, takes a sip of water and says, can I go home now? Yikes. And like, these are just the things that I'm like, this does not feel like a Spencer moment to me. Like, it just
this
doesn't.
This feels like maybe who Spencer grew in. This is Spencer in the mean streets of Washington, D.C.
I mean,
when she's having to give people the Johnson treatment and get them to use Caroline's word, acquiesce.
Ah, and I did make up of that word. It's my word and I own it now. So if you use it, it's trademarked. Anyway, he reaches over. He touches Spencer's hand. I'm like, don't be touching her. With this current,
after you turned the camera off.
With this vibe, the vibe that's in the room. He goes, look, I'm going to have the receipts. I'm going to have all the cashier checks from the Radley in the next 2 days. And if your signature is on it, there will be a warrant for your arrest. And she's like, see ya.
Spencer's like, yeah, you're not going to find it. You're new here.
She's like, you just basically told me that I have 2 days to get this out of there. And that's easy. And that's
it.
Actually more time than I'm used to having. So no problem, Flues.
And then she walks out and she does the Jenny. She does the Jenny.
Salute. The two finger salute. Absolutely. She said, I ate that. And that's also what Barry did when he left. After saying, you might want to wait till I ask a question. Yeah.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
All right, so we're at the De Laurentiis dungeon.
Emily is walking Allie with her hands over her eyes into this nursery that she has been putting together. And Allie's like, okay, perfect. I didn't know you were going to be a live-in construction girl.
At first, I thought that Emily, like, went and bought all this. I was like, not her, like, buying a crib. Like, Emily, we know you're strapped for cash. How did you do this? We find out it all came from Allie's attic because her mom kept everything and, like, wrapped all the clothes in tissue paper. Like, everything.
Hey, the last attic perfect. I'm ever trying to go to.
Is the dealer in his attic, house. Literally. And then Allie looks at Emily and she goes, you can stay as long as you want. Emily's like, really? Emily's like, I've been waiting to hear you say this for years. You have no idea, Allie. She's like, I'm sorry. I already like packed a bag and like set up in the guest room, but I'll pretend that I just did it now that you invited me over.
Then we go to Ezra's loft and Arya is doing what Arya does best. She is looking at the deep fake of herself over. Mm-hmm. And over.
I really wish we got like a little bit of like of her being like, God, is this really what I look like? Like, I don't look like that. Like, just she's kind like of like talking
between,
under her
she's
breath.
She's going between that yeah. and the mirror.
She's in front she's of the like, mirror and she's like, no. Ezra, you wouldn't accidentally like make out with this girl, right?
Because we're afraid it might be Lucas Gottesman and you cannot make out with a student.
You cannot be making out with a student again. A
former student.
You know, you only get one. You only get one, and then you get in trouble. But she's in there watching it, and it is so funny because like Ezra walks in, and she like jumps out of her chair, and I want to be like, "Girl, it's okay." He is probably so used to walking in the room and finding you looking at pictures and videos of yourself. Like he's like, "Oh, you're just looking at some new selfies you took." Like this is like just a Tuesday. Literally. So you don't need to be so startled and hide your phone.
And he's trying to tell her, "Well, she wasn't sleeping well. I couldn't care less."
It's like, okay, stop it. I'm the one who has night terrors. That's Caroline's Aria. Thing. That's literally my thing. And by the way, they're errors, tarots.
Yeah. That yes. Yes. That that's exactly what he, like how he would have said it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so
it's like when a little kid can't say there are
exactly
tailos.
That's exactly what tailos. It sounds like. It's drama
yeah. It's chaos. Okay, drama, get out of here. oh my god today. Okay, I'm gonna say something brave. I found a dead mouse in my basement today.
That is brave. Did Anthony handle it?
Well, of course. And no. Yeah, he handled it and then he went and got traps.
There's more for Caroline to say, but she's not going to say it on
I can't say on, it. On I just mic. Can't say it. I can't bring myself to, but we bring the mouse traps in the house and drama goes, oh, how's bows? Oh, how's bows? What are those? Oh, how's bows? What Charleston steps on one of those and he gets stuck and he never can come out. Uh-oh, Charleston, don't go in the basement. You might step on the glue mouse trap and you might never get out. And we're like, Chuck, don't worry. You're like so much bigger than a mouse. Like this isn't going to trap you. But now Chuck's too scared to go even by the basement door. And drama's like, my plan worked perfectly. Because, oh, how's bows? What's in the basement? What's going on? What's in the basement, mama? Oh, how's bows?
How's bows is
we're like,
so
drama,
funny.
Don't say that. He's like, heck. How's, but it's in the Bible. How's in the Bible? I'm like, oh my God. I know you don't read the Bible, drama. I know you don't read the Bible. Do you like that his favorite animal is a chupacabra?
That made me laugh so hard. Especially the way
so
that Anthony
funny.
Put it at the end. Like it was like drama wasn't in the conversation and then he like spoke up.
Anthony sent voice memos to Phoebe as drama, like just talking to him. And I don't remember what drama was saying, but at the end he goes, there's a ghost in your quaint Charleston. At the very end.
Oh my God.
There's a ghost in your quaint Charleston. And then the next one, he's like, Charleston's like, well, my favorite animal is probably like a monkey. And drama goes, my favorite animal is a chupacabra. Oh my God. So, yeah. Anyway, back to this. Ezra put some ballroom dancing class brochures on the table. And he's been thinking for the first time, it seems, about their first dance as a married couple. I'm like, oh, so the wedding's happening?
Oh, perfect.
If I'm Arya, I'm like, oh, are we getting,
no,
oh,
this
are we
episode,
getting married?
This episode, Ezra remembered that he proposed to Arya.
He remembered that he has a fiance, and suddenly he's like, I have to have her back. It is my duty. And it's like, and where has this man been? She's noncommittal, and she snaps. She's like, I can't commit. Okay. And if I'm Ezra,
no,
I'm like, you know, no, great. I'm going to go jump off the roof. Like, no, it's fine. But Ezra deserves it. Arya should actually be way meaner. But then she gets a text from Spencer. It says, Allie's house, period. Now, period. Things just went south. Uh-oh.
And whose fault was that? And whose fault was that, Spencer? We go to the dealer in his dungeon and Spencer's coming clean to everyone. And Hannah can't believe it. Everybody else seems to be okay with it. Except Allie. Allie's iffy.
Yeah. Well, Allie is like, Allie is definitely, you know, she just keeps making comments. But Hannah is literally like livid. She says, or Allie's like, well, did you screw anything else up? And Spencer says no. And Hannah goes, how would you know? You were trashed. Which is like, yeah.
You remember? And then literally, Spencer has the audacity to turn this around on Hannah.
And this is where I'm like, hey, Spencer, if you could think for like one single second of your life, this is actually Hannah's kill. Stop trying to, number one, take credit for the kill. And number two, like, Hannah's the one who should be freaking tweaking. And you exactly. need to be on your hands and knees groveling right now for fucking this up. Because you're also like, about to ask her to save you again.
And the thing is that, like, Spencer doesn't even have to ask. I feel like it's, like, unspoken. Like, everybody's like, okay, if this has to do with Radley, Hannah's just going to fucking figure it out.
Right. And then, of course, you know, we've got Emily, who's, like, trying to mediate. She's like, oh, any of us could have made this mistake. And Hannah's like, you don't get it. Now the police are actually looking at us. And if they're looking, they're going to find stuff. Like, they weren't looking at us before this. And now because Spencer is sloppy and drunk and an idiot and a slut. She doesn't say that, but she
don't forget
she could.
That part.
She could, and I'd stand 10 toes behind her, but she doesn't. So,
and so Hannah and Emily are gonna go.
Well, wait. This is that moment you're talking about, the horrible moment, because Hannah's like, Spencer, why were you drunk? And Spencer's like, I was upset, and from what I remember, you had a pretty good view. For a second, I was like, what is she remembering the door scene, you guys, the infamous door chain lock scene.
It's like, hey, Spence, I don't care.
I don't care. And guess who also was upset that night?
Guess who committed
a human life. yeah, exactly. And then had to hear that conversation.
Dude.
Well, Kayla begged you to let him inside the house.
Spencer,
but yeah,
let him
I'm
in.
Sure it was a really
wish,
hard night
wish,
for you,
Hannah,
Spence.
I wish Hannah said, you could have let him in.
Spencer's like, I was getting laid either way, him or Floozy. Like, I wasn't worried. That wasn't the issue.
I am like, Spencer, tell the whole story. Tell them what you said to Floozy.
Say
that you made a joke about
burying a
body.
Fucking body. I'm begging you, Spencer, say it. You idiot. So Emily's like, all right, well, we have to go to the signature. I was the bartender that night. I can get them. Or not that night, but I'm a bartender. I can get them. And Hannah's like, no. I will do it. So there is a meeting tomorrow with like the whole staff of Radley where they'll be occupied in a room for an hour.
Emily
and Hannah's gonna go do it then.
Explaining the concept of a food service job to these girls is actually so funny. She's
like, okay, this is way too complicated, Emily. She's like, no, I know. No, I know that. And actually, like, bartending is like mixology. It's like chemistry, actually. You know that's how Emily sees it.
Exactly. At the brew, Jillian is showing... Remember her? Jillian is showing Ezra like this press packet about how the press tour is going to go, and he realizes that it's like all going to be about Nicole.
Yeah,
like
every talking point is like asking about Nicole, and he's like, so what's the deal with this? And Jillian's like, so that's what the book's about.
Ezra wants it to be crazy that this is like how it's going to go. The girl that you wrote this book about, number one, obviously is going to be about her even if she hadn't come back, and number two, she just got rescued. Like, obviously, that's what it's going to be about.
Well, and the other thing,
and he's like,
I'm
how
like,
can I rope my engagement into all this?
Yes. Well, and here's the deal. I think Arya's trained him well, because on any given day, Arya would absolutely lose her mind over him not including her in this. Like, it's just because she's preoccupied. She's got other shit on her plate, so she's gonna let it go this time. But like, Ezra probably is super scarred from previous moments where he's like, no, how can we have the writing con, how can we get my fiance involved here? And Jillian's like, I would be a pretty dumb publisher if I didn't take advantage of like, that's what your book's about, and she just was found. Like, right. I have to. And I just think it's hilarious. Like, oh, Ezra, now you remember she exists. Okay. It's a little fucking late.
And Jillian goes, Ezra, you couldn't have waited to get engaged.
And honestly, like, yeah, that's valid. Low
it
key.
Is. It was like, this was what was best in Ezra's brain for like 30 seconds. And so that's what happened.
Like, why did you guys get engaged right now? Like,
it doesn't
I don't
make sense.
Get it.
At the De Laurentiis dungeon, Caleb is getting everything ready. And the phone rings and we're reminded that it's Hannah's turn. It says, homework. Did you write the whole thing down? I just wrote the spark notes of that. Homework or detention?
It says, pick up your homework or go to detention. Remember, prison food makes you fat.
Like,
and then
just,
it shows an address. It's
hey, why'd we have to throw
shop.
That in there?
Oh, they're like, don't forget this. But it is like, it's this tie-in that honestly, if I'm Hannah, it's adding another little like, in the Mona friendship.
I agree.
Like, I'm, you know what I mean? Like, totally. And I wonder if A thought that through. Like, let me just remind you, just so that, because while you're having this moment of like, are all the people that I love and the people closest to me, are they all involved with this? Like, mm-hmm. let me remind you that they were, right. and that potentially they still could be. You don't know.
Totally. So the address is a computer shop, and they're going to have to go pick something up there. And Aria gets a text from AD, and it's basically, did you write that down too?
It says, Hannah thinks it's her turn, but yours isn't up yet, and you're playing for me. Oh my God. This episode for Aria, crazy. I can't imagine how the fandom was reacting in real time watching this.
No, this episode was like truly like, and the thing is that, the vitriol we have for Aria mm-hmm. didn't exist then.
Yeah.
So we weren't looking at it from this way of like, oh, this is classic. Like,
Right.
This is like so classic Aria and how we've come to describe her.
But now we have 2020 vision.
At the time, like, when you're just watching it in like a relaxed way and you're not having to talk about it for an hour every week.
Yeah.
It's like friendship is, it's what Marlene always says. Like, the show is about friendship. And mm-hmm. so it was really, especially the nursery part, like that was like, oh my God.
Dude, crazy. I can't wait to talk about it. So Caleb and Hannah are now fighting because she wants to go to the school to pick up the homework by herself because she doesn't want anything bad to happen to Caleb again. And, you know, he obviously doesn't want her in danger. And she goes, it's a computer repair shop, Caleb. The only danger I'm in is being bored to death. Obsessed. She's like, I need you to focus on helping Spencer. Like, I feel really guilty after Spencer's comment. Like, she basically, exactly what Spencer wanted to happen has happened now. So Hannah feels responsible. Hannah feels guilty. Hannah feels bad. So she's going to like bend over backwards, make herself uncomfortable to make Spencer feel better and make it up to her because Hannah is just a good fucking friend. And Hannah tells Caleb, I don't think she would have self-sabotaged that night if it weren't for everything going on with the three of us. And explains to him about like that she was behind the door that night when you were, quote, begging her to let you in. And she just fully takes the blame here. She's like, I gave her permission to fall in love with you.
It's crazy to me how.
And he says, and that doesn't mean that you have to put yourself in danger and do it alone. Mm-hmm. And this line, this is the ultimate Hannah line. She says,
yes,
the only thing scarier than this game is losing a friend over it. And I'm just like,
it just sucks. And also the juxtaposition of that line being in the show and the episode where Aria does what she does.
And the fact that like Aria is willing to lose all of her friends mm-hmm. so that she doesn't lose the game. Hannah's like, I'll lose the game a million times before I lose any of my friends. And honestly, I do think she's like the only one of the girls, even including Emily, who would really do this. Emily would do this for Allie, but it's like, even like, I feel these girls would put their romantic partner first, not necessarily mm-hmm. the friendship. So they'd be like, well, it wouldn't be worth me like losing my relationship with Allie is right. sort of how I, but Hannah and
of
just
course.
Like, the friendship, even after all these years and everything, like, oh my God.
She's perfect. At the De Laurentiis dungeon, Spencer is helping Emily and Spencer just has such a like victim complex this whole time.
And also like, Spencer, are you okay? Like, what reality are you living in where you think Detective Floozy still likes you? Again, reasons I don't think it's fucking Spencer.
Yeah.
She's like, I think he still likes me and I can get him to help me. Girl, what? He is the lead detective on this fucking case. He's not going to help you.
I do think Spencer has always had that way about her where it's like she's the exception.
I know. And maybe she's Toby thing in her mind. Like, she's like, it was always so easy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say.
But
Toby.
Like, and Emily cracks me up. She goes, don't overestimate someone's feelings for you.
And Spencer goes, we're building a crib right now.
We're literally, she's like, well, it's my kid. Yeah, for my child that's gonna live in Allie's house. Yes. So then they're, you know, Spencer's asking about what's the plan with you and Allie. And this line had me in disbelief. Phoebe, Emily says, look, Allie's going through this experience too. And I think she wants to be part of the baby's life. So, hey, Em, no offense. Allie's like the only part of the baby's life right now.
the baby is the only thing the baby is.
And you think Allie, for you to say Allie's going through this experience too, I would almost say she's the only one going through this experience. Like, what? She's like, carrying the baby.
Literally.
She wants to be in the baby's life. Well, I hope so, because unfortunately, if she didn't, it would be, I'm going to carry your baby for 9 months. And she's essentially a surrogate, if not. So, like, what is it, Emily? I thought it was so crazy.
It's crazy because also it's not like you're building this in, like, Lucas's loft or, like, it's not, like, it's not like you're looking. It's an Allie's house, Emily.
And it's also Allie's stuff. Like, yeah. It's her childhood stuff at this moment.
Emily, it ends up working out for you, but...
But, like, it almost didn't. Yeah, you do sound crazy. But, okay, I even wrote in my notes here, like, Spencer's voice even sounds different. And she's so antagonistic and mean. Emily even is like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? Why are you just, like, being nasty?
I think it doesn't seem that far off from when Spencer is pushed into a corner or is agitated. She can get this way where she... Mm. Is so curt with people and like doesn't she almost like can't help herself.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Arya gets back to the loft. Emily or Ezra is like sitting reading and he says, Jillian's an ass. She wants me to do the press tour alone. And Arya's like, oh yeah, because if I'm there, that's not really the happy ending that like your readers were hoping for.
Arya is like, she is soaking up everything that she can as Arya to like make Ezra feel bad about this, but I don't think Arya feels bad about it. I think she's like, okay, whew, off my plate.
No, well, and that's in any other circumstance, Arya would be like, you're insane if you think you're doing it without me. But in this moment, it's like it actually just works better for her and it gets Ezra off her back a little
bit. She can still try to get a reason to be like, you know,
she can pout a little bit. He can baby her, you know, all those things. But it's funny because Ezra,
I do not want to be in the spotlight anymore.
Right. No. And she's like, and honestly, I never have. I've been thrust into it. It's been put on me. I don't know. I know God's up there with a follow spot on Arya, but I'm out now. I'm not finding my light anymore. I never had a problem finding my light.
It is just time for Arya.
Thank you for that. And I'm adding a dash to my name. Okay. Ari-A. And that's my name now, Ari Dasha.
Guys, the worst thing is anytime...
Because Arya was not unique enough. It's starting to get popular, and I can't have that.
Guys, anytime I text Caroline about, like, Ariana Grande, Arya is the first thing that I type and I send without even thinking.
But I know, thank God. Well, it's also, you just get rid of that A, and it's just Ari, and then we're good. But it is funny, because Ezra's like, look, I'm not doing it.
And like, she's like, no... Like,
unless like he's like waiting for her to be like, no, you have to.
And that
he's
is
like, I what if she was like, okay,
he'd be like, what were you gonna say to
okay
Jillian?
But I do have to. So I'm still going to.
And thank goodness Arya agrees. She's like, perfect, this will get him out of the fucking house, like get him out of here.
Yes, exactly.
So Lucas,
but also she says something that is like actually a little bit like empathetic and like kind. She's like, Nicole's not a ghost anymore. And I wouldn't feel right answering the questions for her, which is a good point. She's like, but I'll be there front row cheering you on.
Lie.
So, okay.
Lie, then. And she knew it.
Lie. Lie, you're actively planning not
later,
to be.
Later on, they're fighting about it. She's like, see, I meant like metaphorically. Like, I'm always going to be front row for you.
Look, you know, I'm a cheerleader, but I would never be a cheerleader. You know what I mean? Those girls are such vapid,
I am like not
popular.
You want me to be your wag?
Freaks.
You want me to?
I know you want that, but I'm not your Taylor Swift. Okay, I'm just not your Taylor Swift. I'm just trying to think of like an intolerable pop star. I'm your Chapel Roan. Sorry. Just kidding. Love you, Chapel. Okay, so. We got the hard drive from the computer store. Caleb and Hannah are back at the loft. Hannah's afraid this hard drive is a weapon.
Which kills me. She goes, I don't know, it could be a weapon.
She goes, it might explode. It might poison you. It might poke you in the eye with a box cutter.
There was this moment, the way that these scenes are edited together is like we're still watching the Ezra scene and then we hear Caleb's voice before it switches to that scene.
Yes, I noticed that too.
And then it zooms out as Hannah is talking, and as she says it could be a weapon, you don't see Ashley Benson's mouth move.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't notice that.
I did.
Okay, guys, back to the editing room.
Come on.
I found something you need to fix. So there's one file in this thumb drive, and it has a Patsy Cline song that Hannah remembers from the dollhouse.
Hannah just accidentally picked up our mom's hard drive.
Oh God, it's mom's. That's what mom uses instead of an iPod.
Yeah,
instead of an iPod, she's a hard drive with one Patsy Cline song on it, and she plays it out loud on her computer and walks around. So that's what's playing. And Caleb is like, well, does Lucas have any connections to this? And he's like, it's not Lucas. And again, good friend Hannah, like, she will not accept this. She's like, look, Lucas gave me and the girls an alibi the night of Charlotte's murder. So it just cannot be him. Like, why would he do that?
Right. Okay. Okay.
Insane scene alert.
We've got someone crazy in our midst. We're at Floozy's apartment. Crazy. Never needed to see the inside of this or him in sweatpants. And there's a knock on the door. And I'm like, who on earth could this be? Oh, Spencer.
Who else? Who else would it be?
The person of interest in his number one case.
Okay, well, once Spencer is revealed to be British, I'm going to say Spencer Hastings.
You're going to get...
Detective Rudy.
And you're going to get an even better line. You don't even know how good it's going to get.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
It took the internet by storm. It took the internet absolutely by storm.
I'm calling Alex Drake Sissy. That's Alex Drake's name. Sorry, it's all I'm gonna be saying. Sissy. Sissy's
Wait,
here.
Guys, this is crazy that this is the reveal where everybody finds out that the whole time you knew.
The whole time I knew that it was Alex Drake. I know. But like, again, I still don't know, like, how we get there. You know what I mean?
Andy Caroline still has no idea.
I couldn't draw a straight line to how we get there.
I don't think Marlene could either. I don't think she could do that
either. Who finally acknowledged her. I have this idea in my mind that Marlene, like, hates our podcast.
Caroline, I'm going to say this so awesome and kindly. I really don't know that we're on the radar.
Okay, and I knew you were going to say that, like, a total freaking bitch. But here's what I want to say. Yeah, we are. Do you not remember April 2024? You don't think that came across her desk? You don't think? Because here's
like,
the thing.
I'm gonna be
she
like
was
a nursing
definitely.
Home. I'm going to be like a nursing home in the way that they're going to like get me back in.
April 2024, you're smoking
be like,
cigs. They're like, Phoebe, why did you start smoking in the nursing home? They're like, April 2024.
I never smoked at all in my life until
until you're in the nursing home and you tell the story and you're like, I never needed a cigarette like I do
now.
Like,
my grandkids are like, she never smoked cigarettes. She's from Pittsburgh and lived in the South.
They're like, what is with the
and I was gonna say wait, something grandma, else, is that a tattoo of the Italian flag on your shoulder?
On the front of your shoulder, and you're always wearing an off-the-shoulder top now. Phoebe, you never wore off-the-shoulder tops, and now you're obsessed with wearing off-the-shoulder tops because you have your Italian flag tattoo. And you're like, yeah, your uncle Anthony did this to me with stick and poke when I was sleeping at Thanksgiving 2025. And so then we get there. Why is Zoe calling me right now?
Cancel.
Don't call me.
Don't decline.
But
don't call.
Wait, I was just gonna say something about they do a psych test on you. You have nothing wrong with you. You have nothing wrong with you, and you don't have like dementia. You don't have Alzheimer's. Like, you're literally, it just like became this person. They're like, why does she have to be in the nursing home? No, she can completely take care of herself. She's only 62. She wants to be here for some reason.
It's performance art.
It's performance. It's a big thing. I don't know. Anyway,
thank you for thinking I'd have grandkids at 62. Thank you.
You're welcome. I probably won't. I probably won't even have normal kids by age 62 at this rate.
Hey, kids, if you're listening.
Turn this off.
I better not be 62 with a grandkid. Come on.
Hey, kids, if you're listening, you're in huge trouble. You're in huge trouble for having those kids.
Go to your room.
Go to your freaking room. All right. So Spencer goes inside Detective Floozy's apartment. She starts to take her jacket off, make herself at home. He's like, Bob, don't do that.
I am like,
keep your fucking clothes on, slut.
What are you thinking? The second she walked into the apartment building, she could like
she
feel like herself
striptease.
Heating up.
She like takes a chair, turns it around, straddles it. He's like, okay, you don't have to sit like that. Like, actually don't sit at all. She's like, the name's Sally Bowles. Anyway, Spencer realizes
with cigarettes this episode.
Yeah, I guess I am. Can I just say one thing? I've never like been wanting a cigarette so bad for some reason as I do when I watched the summer, not the summer, I turned pretty.
Imagine
We Were Liars watching Caroline Forbes smoke a cig. I don't know why. I was like,
well, it's because
she
there's
makes
something
this look
so just
so
chic
good.
About it.
When she does it, I was like, now I want to smoke a cigarette.
When it's
That's
Caroline
an insane thing
Forbes at Beechwood, it's like,
yeah,
okay,
I'm
fine.
Like, okay,
maybe
okay, cigarettes
so
are chic. Just kidding, you guys. Hey, And if you're one of my students listening, I didn't say that. I would never. Don't you dare. Okay,
don't
so
even think about it.
Don't even think. I'll know if you think about it. Not in a weird way. I'll just know.
Someone just said,
oh, Phoebe Con. Oh, nope. Never mind. Wrong sister. Okay, so Spencer realizes he doesn't like her anymore. And she says to him, I'm the same person I was 3 days ago, Marco. I'm the same person that you had dinner with and played ping pong with, and the same person that you kissed.
Here's what I would say, Spencer. Like, yeah, that might be true, but he didn't know. You were.
I like
you
that you're
were.
Like, here's what I want to say, Spence. And you say exactly what he says to her in the scene.
Oh,
is it? He goes, that might be true, but I didn't know that person.
Guys, that's how we know our brains are rotten.
We didn't even finish the Marlene thing. Guys, she liked and shared one of our posts. And like, you know, she knew about Moe's and Jenna's podcast. And so as a result, she knew about ours.
I think she had
because
to
they
be
had to
side.
Change their name. I don't think so, honestly. I was like, why? I don't know. And she's never interacted with our stuff, which in my mind is just weird because, like, Sarah's been here. Like, I know you've seen it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. But I do
but
think that's
I
how she saw this
think,
one. I think it was Emerson, though. She was always obsessed with them. She always wanted to make that storyline
also
happen.
Typically, we're, like, so nasty about Ezria, and she loves Ezria. So I was also like, she's never going to, like, throw us a bone because we talk shit on her favorites.
Well, here we are.
But we're right. Anyway.
So.
Thanks, Marmar.
So Floozy says exactly what I thought, what I would say if I was him, apparently. And Spencer goes, wait, she said this earlier. What did she say? You're not. Oh, Hannah said this. Hannah said, you're not the one who turned Dunhill into roadkill.
Killer, a killer line. Only wish she could say it out loud on a microphone somewhere people could hear it. Spencer's like turning it on though. She's like, I know you, Marco. You're fair and you're decent. And he reminds her that, hey, you're actually involved in a murder investigation. And she's like, okay, fine.
But
okay,
he was
fine.
A monster.
He deserved what he got. He should die the way he lived. And I'm like, and that was a mistake. And hey, Spence, we need to be thinking before we speak.
She's literally like, is this so wrong? And he's like, yeah, it's wrong because we have something called a justice system. And Spencer says, which is what I told Caroline, was how I kind of feel about Catherine Heigl in 27 Dresses and why I'm on her side fully all the time, is that justice is just another word for people getting what they deserve.
Totally. She goes, okay, just stop being a cop for a minute. It's like, you can't. You actually can't. She goes, I'm not asking you to help me. I'm not asking you to lie for me. I'm just asking you to just... please let this one slip through the
no,
cracks.
No, that wording was truly jaw-dropping.
It's also basically an admission of guilt, is it not?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so now he's actually flooring it to the police station now.
Crazy. And he said, it's not my job to figure out why someone broke the law. It's my job to figure out who broke the law.
Yeah. He says, no, I guess you didn't know me as well as you thought. And then his phone rings and he tells her to leave. And he leaves the room to
Massive
take the phone
mistake.
Call. Huge mistake. Don't ever leave her alone in your home. Ever. Anybody. Even if you don't think you need to be
that's
concerned.
That's,
you
that's
do.
Like, hey, that's page number one in your police handbook. When you started working at the Rosewood Police Department, there was
they
a headshot
said, watch
of
Spencer out for Spencer
Hastings.
Yeah.
Don't leave her
like,
alone.
Like, watch out for this girl. She's got sticky fingers. Either she's going to try to make you think it's her friend Hannah, the blonde one. It's Spencer. Keep her away from your personal
and
belongings.
And she's basically a sea siren.
Yeah. She's basically the Rosewood Police Department siren. So he's going to go in the office, which is what he's talking about on the phone. And she looks down and she sees all these thumb drives. And one is labeled L. Gottesman. And she takes it, of course, and leaves.
And she takes a little too long to take it.
I agree. I always think that. I'm like, okay, let's get to step in here. Like if you already know what you're going to do.
Spencer,
stop pretending. You're like, it will. She won't. We know she will.
So we go to the barn and they're watching Lucas's testimony. And we find, or like his whatever it's called. And we find out that he came back to tell the truth that night because they caught him in a lie. Because
he had been there with Hannah and he covered for her. And then he goes back, gives up their alibi. And he's like, I actually have no idea where she was that night. I lied because she asked me to help him.
But
Hannah burned again.
But then he says, they're like, do you think she could have done it? And he's like, I don't think Hannah could have done it. No. The others?
And the then they're others. Like, well, what about the friends? What? He goes, well, I can't vouch for her friends because of the things that I know they're capable of. And he goes, so I wouldn't be surprised. That's a crazy thing to say, I have to say. That's a crazy backpedal from, yeah, I was with them.
Literally.
So Spencer, again, this moment of Spencer hulking out seems out of character. She slams the laptop shut and screams, damn it! And Arya gets the ick. Arya's like, geez, calm down, Spencer.
Hey, I thought we were Team Sparia, but
it's
I don't
fucking game. Know. Arya's like, it's a game. Like,
it's just a game.
Oh my God. She's it's like into Big Brother house. She's like, sorry. She's sorry, you guys aren't good for my game. I can separate friendship from the game. That's what Arya's saying here.
So Arya is like, what if we stake out the like locker drop off? And Hannah's like, locker? Hannah
I didn't say anything about a locker. Because Hannah's so smart. Hannah also still won't throw Lucas under the bus. And she's like, look, he got busted. He's weak, but that doesn't make him sick. Emily obviously immediately brings up what he did to Ali's memorial. And then she mentions him stealing Caleb's money and joining Mona's army. And she goes, he has a dark side. And I was like, me to Phoebe vibes. Me trying to convince Phoebe that Lucas is not the hero she wants him to be. Phoebe, he has a dark side.
Yeah, but then he always pulls it out for our girl. So I can never believe
Hannah goes,
him.
He's my friend, just like all of you.
He's my friend. You know that TikTok sound?
I know it's a little weird, but
he's my friend.
Well, that's actually me quoting Mean Girls now. Oh, maybe Regina Saint Aaron Samuels. And she's like, I know she's like super weird and like a homeschool freak, but be nice to her. She's my friend. At okay, the Halloween
that's
party.
Not this, that's not the sound, but very similar vibes. Yeah. And so then we like have this weird little clip of Lucas in what looks like the black car that Arya was in when she was teaming up with AD.
Wait, before that though, we have to. This is a really important moment. But so this whole time, Arya's just like in the corner looking guilty, and Hannah says, "And no matter how shady you guys looked, I knew in my heart that you would never hurt me." Arya says, "That's not true."
Right.
And I was like, "No way, she's about to do the right thing."
No, of course not.
You were once so afraid of him, we pushed him out of a boat. And I'm like, okay, bitch, shut up.
Which, guys, Arya? To correct, because last week I said he pushed Hannah out of a boat.
Yeah.
And did someone already
correct
us?
But you might as well have. No, so no one did. But I just realized that, because I thought I got it wrong. No, but better if you did. Just kidding. But right. then we have the locker moment, and then we decide that we're going to split up, and then we have Lucas reading a comic book and a car.
It's his comic
like
book.
Villainous. Yeah. The comic book they found.
Then we go to the dealer rent his house, and Emerson isn't like in a fight. It's the morning time. And Emily's like, did you take your vitamins?
You know, Allie is like the opposite of a fucking morning person.
Oh my God. Yeah. And you know,
and Emily's I can get you there.
I think the easiest thing that people can do to Allie is give her the ick.
Yes.
I think it is so easy for her to get the ick for
and
anybody.
And it is also so hard for her to hide it. Like, it is so...
Like, she has the ick for Emily in
impossible.
A deep way right now.
Yes. And it's just like, Emily's like, oh, you're not a morning person? Well, you've never had a Fields morning. Just, you never had mornings with me. I can turn you. So she, like, makes her this breakfast. She's like, you're not eating a real breakfast. You have to do something. It's giving baby mama Tina Fey, Amy Poehler. When Amy Poehler is like, I'm not fucking eating that. It's disgusting. And Tina Fey freaks out. Emily, Ali's also not like taking her pills. Emily is so fucking mad, and she goes, I can't believe you're already flaking on me.
Which was kind of crazy, Emily. But I also am like, I'm just waiting for Emily to pull the, well, it's my baby.
I know. I'm waiting for it. I'm so waiting. And I can't wait because Ali will say, and it's my body, my choice. Ali goes, I knew pregnancy would come with some crazy erratic mood swings. I just didn't know they'd be yours, which is a great line.
And that's Big L.
So Emily gets a text from Hannah. Hannah got her game instructions. So she's telling Emily that she's going to drop the hard drive off at the school. At the same time, the staff meeting is starting at Radley, at which time Caleb is going to dismantle the surveillance cameras at the Radley, and Hannah will get the credit card slip, but she only has 10 minutes. So Caleb can dismantle the security system at the Radley for 10 minutes before the SWAT team will show up. So Hannah has to get from Rosewood High to there. Oh, no, I guess he'll stop it once she gets to the Radley. In my mind, we had to account for travel time. And I was like, this is impossible.
So. I don't think so.
Then, and Ari goes, well, I know we're like short on people, but I have to go to this thing tonight.
Hey, that was crazy. Hey, that was crazy, Arya.
Emily's like, just go. Just go.
We really didn't account for you anyway.
We really don't need you. We really don't. We forgot you were here.
You're kind of like annoying.
Arya's like, yet again. You don't need me. Skinny shaming me. We didn't even realize you were here. Okay, I know I'm light on my feet, but seriously, guys. I can also tell this isn't Spencer because her hair looks gorgeous. Her hair is perfectly blown out in every scene. And normal Spencer,
you think that's
so
a characteristic of Alex Drake?
100%. It's not a characteristic of Spencer. I don't know what the characteristics of Alex Drake are. I just know what they are of Spencer. And Spencer's like, her whole thing is being like,
I'm being
ways.
So serious. I'm like, and I'm not BSing you. I don't believe this. Is Spencer.
Well, then she needs to go to the doctor because she's acting weird. Spencer, go get an eval. You're acting weird. Anywho, because also at this point, everyone splits up. Okay, we have Caleb and Spencer left at the Hastings Castle. Spencer's going to have her second interview.
Spencer's like, hey, you know this is all your fault, right?
Hey, you know, when you damaged me like that, you did this, actually.
All your fault.
You have the skin of a killer, too, now by proxy. But he apologized. And I am like, this is so, like, sorry, but it's such a man thing. He's like, I know it's all because of me. Like, you were so upset because of me.
But it's just what Spencer
wanted to
hear.
I know it's true, but, like, yeah, exactly.
But it's not, though. I'm tired of anybody but Spencer being blamed for this. Spencer, this is your fault.
You
purely.
Made stupid mistakes.
And you know what they say? You know what they say? You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
You win stupid prizes. They say you win stupid prizes. And so Spencer starts to leave, and then Caleb's like, hey, I just want to let you know, Hannah and I are not going to let you down this time. And I hope that still means something. And Spencer says it does. And then she goes upstairs to sleep for the first time in, like, the whole season.
Does she say that?
She goes, I'm going to take a nap, and she walks up the steps.
You know, maybe the barn's just being cleaned.
That's bizarre. She's not letting anyone in there.
Maybe.
No one's cleaning that barn.
Why?
Because Spencer's probably, like, terrified they're going to find, like, her sex dungeon or, like, blood on the floor or, like, something like that. Or that Mary Drake's leaving her notes in wine bottles. Hannah, or they're going, like, to realize just how much Spencer's drinking. Like, there are a lot of reasons.
Hannah's like, what's this blood on the floor? And Spencer's like, you know what? I am so tired of you kink shaming. I am so tired of you kink shaming.
And then she's like, oh, wait, actually, sorry. That's from you. That's from when you killed Archer. Sorry, that blood. If it were in the bedroom, I would say it's, like, enough of this. But since it's out here, that's actually from the murder that you did. So we're at the loft. Hannah opens the door. Mona is waiting right there. This scene kind of broke my heart a little bit.
And it was really sad. The way that Mona is like, how many?
Are you okay?
Yeah, I turned my page too quickly.
She asks where Hannah's going, and Hannah's like, trying to think of a lie.
What does Mona say? She says, this is like,
don't
trying-
bother. It's like watching a frog try to jump out of a pot of boiling water.
Which is so
it's also funny
because,
like, Mona's lines are so wordy, but they never feel wordy when I'm hearing her say them. Like, when I say them, I'm like, how the hell does she, like, say this without stumbling? And it's perfect. And she goes, why are you shutting me out? I'm ready to play this game, but I can't if I'm kept in the dark. And so Hannah, like, shows her the hard drive, and she's like, look, like, this is what's happening. She explains the situation. Mona's is like, I want to help. And Hannah's like, okay, but the others don't know you're involved. And it's just like,
I know it
breaks Mona's heart.
And it does. But I do think it's like, Mona, Hannah's protecting everybody by not telling them that you're involved right now. And it's not because she doesn't appreciate your help.
And Mona, she's protecting you.
Yeah.
Because these girls don't trust you like the way that Hannah does. Just like, look at how they're turning on Lucas. Like, they are so ready for this game to be over that if we give them anybody they can cling to, they are going to. So, like, Hannah is trying to protect Mona, but Mona is like, look, okay, fine. I'll help out, and then I'll crawl back under a rock. How many times do I have to save all of you until I'm finally part of the group?
Crazy. And then she goes,
but they do go together.
You should go to the high school. You're already acting like we're there.
Yeah, seems like we never freaking left. All right, we're at the press event at the Brew with Ezra. He's thanking for people for coming and waiting on Aria. I just have to say, does it really matter if you start this without her? She's not on the panel with you. As you know, she said she would be sitting there cheering you on. You really have to wait for her to get here to start the press event? Right? Why are we waiting on her?
I agree. I thought that was weird. Sorry. Can you keep going?
So then Hannah drops off the hard drive. Emily and Allie are, like, staking out the hall watching. And while all of this is happening, Aria is not actually going to the press event. That's not actually why she couldn't help the girls out. She is in the De Laurentiis dungeon, in the De Laurentiis nursery, destroying Emily's childhood mobile, how do you say that? That she brought from her mom's house. She is splashing red paint on all the furniture. Like, she's actually having a grand old time fucking destroying
the
nursery.
The mobile that they replace it with is like a puppet. It's like A's hands.
Oh yeah,
being a puppet master of the girls.
It's yeah. It's there are all the dolls of the girls.
It's like the bye bye music video.
Yeah, it's so creepy. We go back to Emily and Allie watching, and Emily apologizes for how crazy she's been acting. And like, they both are like, look, I'm scared, like, blah, blah, blah. And Allie goes, well, I'm mostly scared because I feel like you're testing me and you're always doing that. So, and then they hear something and they run out, and Allie screams. Emily and her are like running in different directions, and Allie screams. And when Emily finds her, she's on the ground on the steps. Mm-hmm. But she didn't see who it was. And Emily's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm getting us home. I don't care who AD is. I don't care about the game. Don't hurt my babe and my baby or my baby. Don't hurt my babe and my baby. That's what Emily says.
And then we go back to Allie's house, and Arya continues destroying the thing.
Does she not look like she's having like a full-on blast?
And Arya like makes a noise. Well, Arya hears them come in.
Allie and Emily get home. She's like,
oh my God, what am I going to do? And here's what I want to say. Arya, I don't think it's necessarily the craziest thing that you're in here. Just take the hoodie off. Hide it to come get it again. But I guess she's supposed to be at the event.
Yeah. It would be like, why are you in my home without me?
But the board game's there. So that's why I'm kind of like, there could be
some kind of... Yeah, that's not Arya's fucking turn. To their knowledge. And also, yeah, but we also must remember, if Arya were to be there, she would have heard all this happening. So like, she then wouldn't have a reason to be like, oh, I don't know what happened. Oh my God, the nursery. Like, she would have known. But honestly, Emily and Allie still probably would have given her the benefit of the doubt. Like, you know, they probably still would have.
Right.
But it's so funny. Arya is like running around like a chicken with her head cut off. She's running into walls. She's running into boxes. Like, it's so fucking funny. She's knocking shit over and making noise.
She's not cut out for this life.
No, she's not. And so much for being light on your feet, Arya. So she like finally like gets out of that door. Emily grabs a massive Pottery Barn candlestick, and she is like going to go beat the shit out of whoever's there. But Arya did escape, and she made it outside.
We go to the brew. Ezra is explaining his book, and then he starts taking questions, and then he goes, look, everybody. Nicole is my past, and my former student is my future.
Yeah, basically. He goes, any other questions, Lady in Red? I was like, Jesus Christ, I can't. And her question was, will we get to continue your journey with Nicole? Like, will there be another book? And he says, no. I'm getting married to Arya, my co-author. That's the journey I'm going on. She's my inspiration in work, life, and every sense of the word.
It's like, dude, that is, like, so embarrassing.
You haven't really been acting like it. Why is it embarrassing? Because she's not there.
No. I just mean, like, the idea of you writing a book about, like, the love of your life, and then this is, like, so...
I know.
Classic. You fall in love with your co-author, and like it's like when two actors act on a movie together, and then they both leave their spouses to be with each other.
Yeah, it's and sort of like what happened on the set of The Music Man on Broadway,
or
with Sutton Foster and Hugh Jackman,
or Hampstead,
or Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Okay. So all the girls are now in the nursery except for Hannah, because she's at the Radley, and they are so horrified by what happened. Spencer? He goes, what a monster. I know that Lucas destroyed your memorial, but do we really think he's as disgusting as all this? Like, the words they're choosing. Literally. And Arya's just standing there. I'm like, I'm loving it. Like,
are you can't even feign helping here. She is standing up. The other girls are on their hands and knees picking stuff up.
Yes.
And Arya is just standing watching with her arms crossed.
Took me like a long fucking time to do that. But okay, pick it up right away. Like, all right.
Don't even look at the craftsmanship.
Don't even
of the
look
mobile.
At like how like the how I was an English major. Okay, I'd say that I left clues. I left things placed in certain shapes. There's a lot of symbolism here. anyway, so they're talking about it, and Allie thinks that the whole hard drive thing was just a setup to get them away from the house, which obviously it was. Mm-hmm. And Arya's like, "Well, did you catch a glimpse?" And they have realized that there must be somebody helping.
Arya's like, why?
Lucas. Because there's no way whoever, like, was at the school beat them here.
Arya's literally, like, and literally, why would you think there would be a helper?
It's funny because I wrote down, we see Emily, like, picking up the pieces of her mobile. And I wrote, I can't wait to find out how Arya was sloppy. At the exact moment that Spencer finds an earring on the floor and holds it up, Arya, is this yours? But Arya, like, doesn't. you're just not covering any of this well. Like, and it's, for some reason, the girls still aren't catching on. Like, they're like, oh, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal. But Arya's not exactly selling it.
No. No, not at all. She's like, I thought I heard something drop when we walked in.
Yeah, it's like the floors are carpeted, idiot. Anyway.
Yeah,
it's
so stupid. So... Sorry. Where did we go?
We're at the Radley. My notes just died, so I need you to do this.
Did we just go through that whole scene? That's why I'm...
Yep.
Okay. So at the Radley, Hannah's looking for all the receipts, and she realizes that the receipts aren't necessarily in the right boxes, and so it's taking her a little bit longer, and Caleb comes in and is like, what is taking you so freaking long? And he's like, okay, like, we have to get out of here, or they're going to call the police, so, like, it's not an option. Like, it sucks. Yeah, we didn't find it. And Hannah's like, no, we have to find it. It's not negotiable. I can't let Spencer down again.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm not letting her go down for something that we did. Like, I promised her.
And then Caleb's like, okay, fine. I'm going to do something that makes this look like an actual cover up. I'm going to dump the boxes around the date of the receipt that the police will be looking for. I'm going to dump them all on the ground. And then I'm going to deliberately break open a pipe.
Gonna take a hammer to the water pipe here and let this room just fill up, and we're gonna destroy everything, and we're gonna get the hell out. And that's exactly what they do. So Caleb goes to turn the system back on, and Hannah is like super, super nervous, and she gets a voicemail from Mona, who is still at the school alone, and she says that the girls thought she was A, and they chased her and took off, but no one has showed up to get the drive. So pretty much confirming it was a setup. But I'm also like, okay, so Mona, did you knock Allie to the ground?
I was going
to
ask the same question. How did
She's
Allie blamed it on A. It was just her being like poorly coordinated.
I am like, did Allie just fall, or did she like stage it? She like lays down on the table. She's like, who knows? I wouldn't put it past her.
So then Hannah sees in the cameras that Lucas is like knocking on someone's door waiting to be let in.
I thought
in.
He was waiting for the elevator.
He knocked on the door, though, which is why I confused.
I thought he... Oh. I thought.
And then he walks away. So...
He looks up at the camera. He's there. He's, like, standing. It looks like he's standing and waiting for something. And, again, I thought it was at the elevator, but maybe not. And then he, like, looks up, notices the camera, checks his phone, and, like, walks away from the elevator. So I think he saw.
Then we go to the barn, and Marco calls Spencer. And is like...
It's crazy that Spencer's just, like, watching a movie right now.
I need...
I was like, this sounds like an A call.
Yeah, it was scary.
Literally. And if I don't get it back, I'm sending an officer to your door. Stop jerking me around and give me the damn drive.
That was wild.
Whoa. But and she does eat this.
Spencer blackmails him and is like,
she goes,
well, you've written down.
If I had that thumb drive, that would mean I was in your apartment alone with you at night. I wonder if people would think that's strange. And then he hangs up. It is like such a good little moment.
And that's where I'm like, maybe Spencer was just being smart. Like, even if she hadn't ended up taking anything from his apartment, her going and being able to place herself there in any kind of way would be enough to make people scratch their heads and be like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, totally. So we go to the loft, Lucas's loft, and he is furiously going through drawers and his desk. And they're nerd drawers. It's all nerdy shit in there. But something's missing. And then we hear, it's over, Lucas. We knew it was you. And all the girls have caught him in the act in the loft looking for whatever he's looking for.
Mm-hmm. And sorry, I finished my notebook. I had to get a singular piece of paper here. Mm. The girls are like... The girls leave.
No. Okay. No. Allie says, did it make you feel powerful to scare us? You smeared blood on a crib. And he obviously is like, what the fuck are you talking about? And Allie can kind of tell that he doesn't know. And
Allie's like, okay, guys, maybe we bit off a little more than we could chew.
Arya, like, every now and then has a moment where she's like feeling a little guilty. So she starts to say something that could lead to a path of accountability. And then she takes like a wrong turn.
She's like every time
she's like,
feel right.
She's like, well, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean it was Lucas. And then she just lets them continue to believe that. Lucas goes to leave and Hannah fucking shoves him, which I loved. Go, Hannah. And she's like, why would you do this? Like, I saw the police tape. I know you took your statement back. What happened? Allie goes, it didn't work the first time, so now you're sending body parts?
And he's like, whoa, so what?
He's like, again, what are you talking about? What the fuck are you talking about? And Hannah's like, why are you so freaked out if you don't even know? And then he explains. He's like, well, because of the book and because of my friendship with Charles.
And he's like, I didn't know that Charles was Charlotte. I didn't know that they, I didn't know that that was the trajectory of how things were going. They continue to have a relationship, but only on email. And mm-hmm. we find out that Lucas had been lamenting to who he thought was his friend Charles from camp about how Allison and all of her friends were treating him and all
about
this, and how
mean
he,
Queen Allison and her loyal band of followers.
Why do we always have to talk like that? Like,
I know, it's so funny. I'm like, Lucas, this is so embarrassing. I would be trying to say this in like the least embarrassing way possible, not the most, you know. And he's like, whatever. So then we find out that this comic book that the girls found, they think he stole it. He says, first of all, it's a graphic novel. How dare you? Second of all, I did not steal it. It was sent to me. And there was like a note that said, want to keep your friendship a secret. Meet me at the rally. But nobody showed up.
And it's because there's another book that is not
finished. That's why he's back at the loft.
Right. And he's looking to find it, but it's also missing. And it's not finished. He doesn't know how it ends, but it was much more intense.
Because the book turned the idea of vengeance into a game. And so he doesn't know how it ends, but he doesn't want whoever is doing all this to find it, because I guess it's like a handbook. So later on, we have Lucas and Hannah. They're just drinking water, hanging out, and he goes to leave his own house, by the way. I'm like, yep. You live
where
here.
Where are
stay.
You going?
Yeah. Hannah's like, look, I believe you, but why is the factory for sale? Like, was our business partnership ever real?
Oh,
what about the investors? And we fucking find out he's the only investor. Is that real? So like when she was showing up for that meeting, was it only going to be him in there?
I think he was maybe hoping that there would, because he had initially said that there were other investors in the space. Mm-hmm. And I think that he was then hoping that he could like pull in investors once Hannah had more of an idea, but he wanted to tell Hannah that there were investors. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think there were investors at that meeting, but we knew that those ones pulled out.
We just like spent all of his money on this. And Hannah's like, I feel so fucking bad. And he's not worried. He says that he'll make it back again and that it was worth it. And when she's like, it says, what could be worth losing everything? He says, you, I know you never doubted me. And then he leaves. I'm like, so this is her loft now? So you're leaving this loft to her? Like, again, where are you going? You have no money, apparently.
Caroline consistently just always brushes right over the nice things that Lucas says to our favorite character in the whole show. That is so sweet.
I just read it word for word.
No, I know, but you you never give him his flowers.
True, because I don't have any flowers to give him.
Anyway, we go to the Rosewood Police Department, and Marco is telling Spencer about the flood, and it's like, huh. This is interesting. And then he's like, so I can't really. This is where I'm like, Spencer, you better be ready to do the same thing that Hannah was just doing for you this episode. Because now Marco says,
yeah,
now we can't link you to the crime, but you better hope that your friends are as lucky as you are.
Well, and he literally says like, okay, we know the flooding was deliberate, but security cameras
again,
went dark
like,
during
the
exact 10 minutes that we need. And it makes my job almost impossible. So I'm going to be broadening the scope of the investigation. Yikes. And it's like, knowing that the Radley is involved, Spencer, you should know right away. That means Hannah's name and neck are on the line. Like, you should be mm-hmm. worried. But okay. Go back to the De Laurentiis dungeon. Emily and Allie are there. And they're just cracking up about this crazy freaking night they had. Emily's like, Allie, you girl, you were crazy tonight with the stuff you said to Lucas. It was crazy.
The way that Allie says, I thought he was AD. I always hated the way that she said that.
Wait,
line.
That's so funny.
She sounds like a Disney. Like, I thought he was AD. Shut up.
Wait, that's so funny. I did not even like notice that.
No, it bothers me so much. It like icks me out every time.
And then we have this moment we've frankly been waiting for, the hashtag Emerson moment.
Yes.
Where Allie is like, look, you've always protected me. I could always count on you. And Emily asks, so then why did you always push me away? And Allie's like, I don't know, but I want to stop. And I want to do this together, which I have to say, we're already doing it together. We couldn't be doing this more together, actually. But she says she wants to be a family. And then Allie goes and kisses her and tells Emily that she loves her.
And
she goes, tried to get me to say it. I would not say it in front of her.
Wait, and Emily has this moment where she goes, Paige.
Remembering her name.
Yeah.
She already forgot her.
There's Allie's like, Paige tried to get me to say it. And Emily goes, Paige?
Paige? Paige. Paige! Oh, my God. Paige. Wow. I should call her. All right. Aria gets back to the brew, and it looks like there are cop lights outside, but there aren't.
It's just
It's just the brew. Why are they blue and red? Why do they look like cop lights? In this town, with these girls?
Dangerous.
Dangerous.
Ezra's like, it keeps you on your toes. And Aria texted Ezra sorry, and he's like, you didn't miss much, girl. I just ruined my book career.
Okay, but the text is crazy that she sent. She goes, sorry, I bailed on the press event, period. Okay, maybe a little bit more than that.
Hey, they've actually been working on this in couples therapy, is clear and concise communication.
I guess so. Because I mean, they're making no bones about it.
Normally, it's like Aria is hiding the reason she's upset with Ezra and metaphors and simile and symbolism. And sometimes Ezra doesn't get it right. So their therapist is like, okay, we're going to use periods.
Aria, no filler words, no flourishes.
Exactly.
Just no adjectives if we can help it, okay?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, you're not an 18th century author, okay?
And that's just, you're not Emily Dickinson writing poems for a drawer.
Yeah, it's just so funny, though. Sorry about on the press event.
Period.
Sorry about on your stupid fucking book thing, period. Like, she might as well say that, Loki.
And honestly, like, I don't know why we're, like, so supportive of male voices right now.
Like, no, I know.
Like, it's like, thank you for saying that. Let's just have, like, the man do the press conference for the book event. That was written by a woman,
too. What could be worse than that? What could be worse than a man doing a press conference? Not much. So then she looks at her arm and she has the red paint on her and she just like breaks down.
She's literally going to be like, oh, great. Oh, great. I got to get another bandage for this arm.
Yeah. She's like, oh, she goes, ow. Oh, my God. I knew my arm was hurting. And then it's just paint. It comes off in the shower. She's like, I could have sworn there was a massive gash that needed stitches and medical attention and a pain prescription.
And that's
but I guess
how
not
to flex. And me saying this probably makes me an Aria. But like, do you Can't remember wait. When I had a massive gash in my arm and I didn't react like that?
Well, I don't know how you reacted because I wasn't there in the moment. But yeah, I remember the massive gash you had on your arm. Well, it wasn't really massive.
It was wide.
But the placement was crazy. It looks like Phoebe was trying something at work with a box cutter. And I was like, this is
but
so
I also,
annoying
I like,
of you.
I like just, I barely told Caroline what happened and she had to like cancel her whole day
she
of
goes,
work.
She goes, I cut my arm. And I was like, okay. Like I had like kids coming to the house in like 15 minutes. And she's like, so I think I need to go to the hospital. I was like, what? The hospital? She's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, well,
me like not even believing it because at this point I had gone
literally
upstairs at work and like I was like, hey, do you guys have any band-aids?
If you have masking tape, that's fine. If you don't have a band-aid,
what's so
tape.
Funny is that all the 40-year-old men that work there were like, oh, we have duct tape and like paper towels, like do you think that
oh
would
my
work
fucking god oh my
and
god.
Then they were like, can you show us the cut? And I was like, I mean, it's really, it's not that bad at all. And I show it to them and they go, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, that needs stitches. But Phoebe still won't say it to me. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, then go to the hospital. And she's like, I don't think I should drive. And I was like, Phoebe, what? What is going on? Did you cut your arm off? Like, clean off? Like, what? What do you mean you can't drive? I just was like, what the fuck? And then she shows it. I was like, okay, we need to work on your... How about this? Hey, can Phoebe go to the same communication school that Aria went to? Get the same therapist that Aria has? No,
oh
actually, please
God.
Don't. Anyway, this is some of the worst acting I've seen from Lucy Hale. This, her crying, her fake crying on the couch.
Pretty bad.
I was actually appalled by it. I was like, no way she's proud of this.
Appalled
no
is
way.
So funny.
It's true. And then we get our A scene.
And A is writing the Arturus. He has the, oh my God.
What the hell? Sit up
A
for this one last thing.
I am sitting up. I'm fully at a perpendicular, at a right angle. Arturus... The comic that's missing, AD has it, and they flip to the last page, and then they start
that's
drawing.
Empty.
And we see that they're drawing a tree. And at first I'm expecting AD to draw like the little boxes that are in a comic, and then AD like just goes right in the middle of the page, essentially holding a utensil, like not actually holding it, like holding it in their fist.
In a fist.
They draw a tree. And then, like, the giving tree almost. And then they draw a gravestone that says, here lies, but we don't get to see...
Dot, dot, dot.
Who's lying.
We don't know who's gonna be killed and in that gravestone, but it's sure gonna be someone. All right, guys, and that's the episode. That's the episode. I think Phoebe is completely asleep, but that's okay.
I am not. I'm fully upright.
Okay, cool. Guys, I hope you freaking loved this ep. Remember, next week you get this episode that I'm about to read the synopsis for. Season 7, episode 17, Driving Miss Crazy. Obsessed with this title.
That's awesome.
Emily teams up with Mona as she makes inroads in the game. Ashley returns to Rosewood to check on Hannah and asks Caleb what his intentions are with her daughter. Spencer's family reels from AD's latest taunt, and Ezra fears he may have lost Arya. And you know, Ezra, I think it's time you felt that fear a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think it's high time you felt that fear.
I agree. So she's made your life a little too easy.
Yeah. So next week, tune in for season 7, episode 17. Tune in for our podcast. Listen to our Hunting Wives recap on our pilot. And then we're going to get into our Punch Bowls starting the following week. Also tune in on Labor Days for some very exciting new content for you guys. We love you so much. Please leave us a 5-star review. Tell everyone you know about us. And we will see you next week.
And splurt.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.